Australia.
Well, hello there to all our steaming, streaming listeners. Tonight's podcast comes from the Harvest Hotel, Brady's.
Brady's Railway Hotel.
From our VIP, with my good co-host, Mick Rains. Tonight, we're going to be talking to the new man in charge of the steamers for 2024, Red, or known as Colin...
Mays,
aka Red. He's going to talk us through his time with the steamers.
So far. So, Red or Colin?
Red, please.
Red? I've got to ask, why do they call you Red? Because there's no evidence. I'm not seeing much evidence here.
And I ain't going to show you the evidence.
Oh, so the what do they say? The
drapes match the carpet.
Drapes match the carpet. Yeah, okay, well done.
Well, not at the moment anyway, thank God. Now, when I was 16, we went for a little tour and up to the northern bit of the North Island and from Auckland, and the Maldives up there. I had longer red hair then.
Yeah, and they straight
that
away.
Was it.
Yeah. That was that. That sort of answers the first question. You're from New Zealand?
I am.
Where in New Zealand? Do you know how, are you and house friends from New Zealand somewhere?
No.
All right. So you'd be the only two New Zealanders that don't know each other.
Yeah, well, I'm from Auckland, so.
You two should know each other. Mick's proud of. Mick was raised in New Zealand, born in Auckland. And he wants to be a Wallaby
every time. So house keeps drilling me about this. I was born in Grey Lynn.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I was West Auckland born.
So is that, where's that? Is
that on Grey Lynn, that's about 10 minutes up the motorway.
Oh, okay. I'd
very close.
I left before I was one. Yeah. So.
You're there until you're like in your 20s.
So anyway, I left before I was one. You've been in Australia for how long?
2019, beginning of 2019.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right at the heart of COVID, was about to start, eh?
Yeah, well, we had a season, and then COVID hit in 2020, and wiped our season out.
Were you playing or coaching in New Zealand?
Coaching. I got brought over in 2019 to coach at Inverell Highlanders up in Central North.
Oh, yep. That's a solid comp up there.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. And they hired me to come over, so I was there for 3 years.
That's a big deal to come over. Were you coaching in New Zealand?
Yeah. I was coaching in Counties Manukau, coaching the Papakura Club, which is,
red and black, the red shirt. So for those listeners, he's just showing us his shirt.
So how did you used to go against old Ardmore Maris?
Yeah, well, depending on who was coaching them. I mean, Suasu was coaching them at the time. They were good.
Yeah.
Then he left, and then they all sort of drifted back to Auckland. So.
Yeah. I had a good mate, James Ross Ryan, that used to play for them. So it was back in the early 2000s and that.
Yeah. So you're... Were you as a player? When did you stop playing?
Well, I'm 57 now.
Yeah.
So I eventually hung up my boots, about 2013, I think my last game was.
Oh, okay. So in your 40s, mid-40s or something?
Yeah.
Still in your prime.
My body didn't, but I did.
You're trying to talk to Troy Tatchell about it. So,
we're going to stop picking on Troy Tatchell.
Yeah, I know. We pick on Troy a bit. What position were you?
I played 10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, through my career, I played everything.
Yeah.
But then, as it got
so, when you say 10, you mean 10, 5'8"?
5'8", yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I didn't want to run, I went to 9.
Oh, really?
Run, yeah.
Oh, I like to hear that halfbacks don't run.
No, 10s don't run.
Ah, right.
But I didn't want to run. Put it that way. I didn't want to run, so I went to 9, so I could just pass.
Yeah. Did you have much success as a player did you have premierships and stuff, through your career? So when did you start playing?
I started playing probably in New Zealand. It would have been late. I think I was 13 when I hit high school.
Yeah.
And then, all my mates were playing, so I started playing.
Yeah, so you played for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, what is it now? Yeah, 16, 13, yeah.
Well, with the one club?
Years. No, I started out in West Auckland and moved around a bit. And then I played in Auckland for a while. Then I went to Nelson, played in Nelson for a year.
Did you play for Stoke?
No.
Marist.
No. I actually played for Upper Murtree Rangers.
Oh, that's not wrong.
Halfway in between Nelson and...
Middlemarch?
No. Starts with M. Motricka.
Oh, yeah.
Halfway in between there. Nice.
Did you have much success as a player, do you think?
Well, I could have had more, I think.
Yeah. What about as a club? Were you part of any winning teams? Or
well, depends, because after I sort of got a little bit bored with rugby, I went to league. And then I get three premierships of league.
Yeah. What position were you in league?
Hooker, loose forward.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Cam Smith.
Yeah. So you're on the in the minority as a leaguey in New Zealand in the is this the 80s, 90s?
It was 93, 94 that when I went to league.
So you're definitely in the minority still, aren't you? Well, big time. So was that a weird dynamic?
Well, it was really, because you heard of all these players changing from rugby to league and you know, they were bad mouthed and everything, you know, that's how it was, us, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't really give a shit.
But
then in 96, I went and played for Burley Bears on the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
I played it,
I fed it up to the Broncos and all that, so...
It was fun there.
Yeah.
And then I got homesick and went home.
Yeah. So you've come over in 2000.
What New Zealander gets homesick on the Gold Coast?
They're all there. They're not Bondi, they're at the Gold Coast.
And I used to drink a lot too, so...
And I noticed you got a bit of art work too.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was going to say, so you do them yourself?
Board, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got, two that... Three that I didn't do myself.
Yeah.
One of those I went over it myself because it was too light.
Yeah.
And the other two I did. So.
Have you got one you regret?
No.
You can't regret it. They're forever.
Nah. They're there forever. You don't want to regret
them. Fuck that.
Yeah.
All right. So you've come over to Inverell. You've coached for 3 years at Inverell.
Yep.
Through 2019, 20, and then COVID.
Yep.
How'd you go?
COVID.
Yeah.
So COVID wiped out 21. But then we're pre-seasons, we're looking good. And then we're trying for our third pre-season and COVID came and knocked that out. So that was that season. Then in 21, we came back together again, pretty much everybody again, a couple of new players. And we were travelling well. Lost a couple of games we shouldn't have. So it made our last two games pretty much must win.
Critical, yeah.
And we'd already, one of those was the defending champs who we lost by a conversion.
Yeah.
Because we missed it to win it at their ground.
Oh,
so that would have been fine because when we did play them 2 years before, we lost 85-7 or something.
Ah, right.
So, you know, it was a big turnaround, which is what they wanted before.
Yeah.
But then COVID came and took out the last two games.
Wow,
we're knocking on the door.
Have you had any of the women talk to you about the what happened to the women's rugby here and COVID?
No, I haven't heard, but I know that it dropped.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, they were on the verge of making their first grand final.
They'd beaten teams they'd never beaten, and they were leading the comp, the minor premiership, sewn up.
And the COVID came wrong.
Because we're on the border too, it was a double hit.
Yeah.
So we lose all our Victorian players.
Yeah.
It just
sucky.
It is what it is. You know, we can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not regretting a tattoo.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
What can you do? It is what it is.
Yeah. I think by the time we get to our 50th reunion, the women had won every game by 80 points and had the minor premiership sewn up, and we're going to win the premiership guaranteed. You know, I think that's where it was at.
Yeah.
You know, more or less.
Yeah.
So, what brought you to the Steamers? So,
well, after 2021, I said to my wife, I said, well, okay, we've had 3 years in the country. Let's have a look around. Let's go to Sydney and move there. And, you know, I don't want to be stuck in the country, basically, and when there's other things I want to show her. And
there's not a lot up in Inverell. Like, it's nice country, but there's not a lot up there.
No, there's no traffic lights. So that's one.
No traffic lights.
But traffic jams are for a couple of minutes. So, you know, it's awesome, but really it's we wanted to have a look around. So we, so I applied for a coaching position and got an assistant coach at Petersham in Sydney. So we moved down.
Subbies?
Yep.
Yep.
And yeah, so we moved down at the end of 2021 and started coaching in 22,
Enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was
It's different. A good standard.
It's different. Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, subbies is pretty good.
And how many grades did Petersham have?
Four.
Geez, that'd be...
And Colts.
Do you look back on that right now and go, geez, that was nice?
Yeah. I mean, it was, but, yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. It's just a different environment, you know. Going from country to city, and because I've been raised in the city... It wasn't so bad, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a different environment.
Yeah.
And a lot of imports and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Could you look at enticing some of those Colts players down this way?
I have thought about it.
But,
I don't know. I mean, I left there after a year. I felt the club was going in a different direction to where I was, and I thought it's better if I just step aside. And then, of course, my wife was pregnant, so that sort of helped.
Congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You can't... It's very hard to coach and have a pregnant wife at the same time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when she gives birth, then it's even more difficult to be a coach. Yeah, so I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a blessing. So I had a year off, and then...
This opportunity came up
and I grabbed it. And now,
how was the selection process? How did you find that? You talked to who we'd been talking to?
Footy, Nathan
and Tom, I suppose, or Gordon.
I talked to G a bit, but I mean,
what do you call him? G.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
G.
G. That's G.
Gordon McBurney.
Yeah.
The G.
That's my right G. Up. Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, I've been around a bit. I've been coaching America, coaching Canada, and I've done interviews and stuff. So yeah, it was good.
So can you? You've been here for what, 2 months?
December.
Oh, okay.
The 18th of December I came down.
So the whole of pre-season.
Whole of pre-season, yeah. January, February. March, yeah.
Is this a long pre-season for you, or is it stock standard?
Stock standard. Now, when I played, November.
It's. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, we started November, and yeah.
Wow, no wonder the Reddies were no good. We didn't start till February. Well, in Wagga, you started when the cricket season finished.
Yeah, well.
So you played, cricket, then rugby, cricket, rugby, cricket, rugby. So.
Yeah, no, we didn't have to worry about that back in my day.
New Zealand's no good at cricket, so you wouldn't play.
We are no good at cricket until we beat the Aussies, and then we're world champions.
Well, I believe you haven't beaten the Aussies for 31 years in New Zealand.
Done.
It just takes one game to win. I think, when you guys beat the All Blacks.
I think your record in New Zealand is as good as ours in Bledisloe Cup.
That's like 21 years. So
yeah, well, I think you guys are up to 30 years.
Oh, true, is it? Oh, well.
Not that I'm counting, but 31 years.
Yeah.
So you've had a long pre-season. How are you finding the? We're starting to get into the guts of it. How are you finding the players, the teams? You've got the club.
Yeah, I find that they're quite receptive to what I'm bringing to the teams, to the club. They're buying into it. You know,
they're buying in.
They are buying into it. And of course, with the trial games that we've had, you know, we had 3 trials, so that's pretty good. Got everybody having a run and stuff, and starting to learn my style, what I like, and for me, seeing how they play and the players and what they
what
bring,
is your like what's the game? What's your game plan? Like, if you could summarise the way you want your teams to play in, you know, a sentence or so, how would you want them to play?
Well, it's not actually my sentence, but it describes it as an all-in rugby. And that's what, like, there's a few things.
What does that mean? Can you translate?
Everybody's involved. Nobody's left out. Everybody contributes. It's a team.
So everyone can hit a ruck.
Everyone knows exactly what to do at that time, in that circumstance, what to do, when to do it, how to do it.
So when you're running a short line out, then yes. Your opposite winger has a place.
Yes.
And has a role to play.
Everybody's got a role to play no matter what.
You've got a pretty transient team at the moment. Like your people will move through in and out. You're going to find guys coming to training, not coming to training. How are you going to get that message across consistently?
So when I did Inverell, we had the meatworks up the road, which had a lot of night shift workers.
Yes.
So therefore, very similar to here.
So a lot of Fijians, Samoans, stuff
and
like
so,
that.
So when we do training, the boys that are there, we drill it into them what they're doing. The guys that aren't there, well, they aren't part necessarily of the first grade because they don't know. They're part of the second grade, and then they pick up what they do through the second grade so that if they sit on the bench and they've got an idea what to do. And, of course, they don't have that long of first grade and then somebody gets injured. So as they pick it up, they're not likely to be exposed for their lack of knowledge.
Yeah, so you'll be hard on selections. On you've got to be a training. You've got to be part of the. You've got to buy in.
You've got to be loyal. I've got a scenario now where I've got one player playing out of position, but he's been a training. I could bring somebody else up that hadn't been a training, but he's been a training. He's been the trials. He's earned it.
Yeah.
So like, look, I want you to play this position. I know it's not your position.
Yeah.
But I'd like you to play there because I want to be loyal to you because you'd be loyal to me. Great. So
how will Troy find 5'8"? Sorry, Troy.
A lot of drop goals.
One more question just on that. So when you get your first home game,
yes,
you're gonna get 60 guys turn up.
Yep.
What would you say to the guys that they haven't been training and they sort of turn up with a pair of boots and go, put me in, coach?
Well, there's a couple of stipulations. First is registration.
Yes, yeah.
Second is trainings.
Yeah.
Third is good enough.
Yep.
And fourth is I'm loyal to the guys that are there.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I did at Inverell.
Yeah.
And I've got a favourite saying. You can be an All Black. You can be the greatest All Black ever. But if you're not at training, you're no good to anyone.
Yeah.
And I have done that in the past. I've benched international players because they haven't been training.
I think the old boys around the club would like to see that. Like we sort of get stuck where we're just short and you sort of got to take whatever you can get.
Yeah.
But if they knew that you were loyal to the trainers, loyal to the well, you can only play players that are registered.
Yeah.
Like, legally, it's just two. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So that loyalty to the trainers is, I think that's a big deal for the club. And that will help build up with the players that do come to training.
Yes.
For sure.
And then the people that don't will go, well,
either come to training or I can go play league or I can be a Mungo or I can do something else with my Saturdays,
That's part of the culture that we build,
Yeah.
If you're honest and transparent to the players and they can see that and they can see that you try to adhere to what you say goes, then they'll respect that and then they'll buy into it and then they'll contribute more and then, it's just a flowing effect.
I think you'll find that the whole club will get behind you on that. If that's what you stand for, then and the club and the old boys and the women's players and the juniors or whoever, as long as everyone understands that, they'll go, that's great. Let's get him behind that, because we do get some quality guys turn up with a pair of white boots you haven't seen for 6 weeks and they go, put me in, coach.
Yeah.
And you go, and the temptation's there, because you want to win and you put these guys in, you've got a much better chance. Loyalty is great.
Yeah, that's happened quite a problem last year, but you have to be loyal to the guys that came to training and that. And then, the same thing, And then they go disappearing halfway through pre-season or the first round home.
First away game.
First away game, which is Griffith, which we did last year.
Yeah.
And then next minute, First home game, they all come back. I put me in. I said, "Why should I put you in?" He's been coming.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's been slogging it out. And yes, you're the better player. Yeah. Yes, I should put you in, but I'm not. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Go with a guy that, like you, what you said before. I think, during the preseason and that.
Yeah. I think the fact that you're verbalising it and if you stand behind that, will be pretty well respected. You know, for sure.
And it's an unfortunate part of it that one of the boys who has been to training, and I said to him that he would have been starting for me, but he's not allowed to because he's underage.
Really?
He can only play second grade.
So you've got underage guys that you would be playing first grade?
Yeah, yeah. Since you.
Who's that?
Angus.
Angus Redfern?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a silky player, isn't he?
Watched him in the preseason's powerhouse. He's got
a next level set of skills.
Yes.
You know, there's a few little bits and pieces which I think we talked about, but guys like you and footy would get a hold of him and fine tune that.
Experience, yeah.
Well, so, I had the same problem last year when I named Harry Harrington on the side of the screen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like everyone was up, and I said, like, if I didn't think he had it in him, I wouldn't put him in that position.
And you know the story, eh?
Yeah.
If they're old enough, if they're good enough, they're old enough.
Yeah.
He's good enough. He's done all the Brumbies training. He's paid for the Brumbies. And that's why I named him on the side. Yeah. Caused a bit of up in arms between other coaches. I said, I don't give a hoot.
Yeah.
But the guy's good enough to go on that position.
So do you think Angus will get a gig through the year? Or is it just
get
not plausible?
Could you get him to say through the year? Or?
That's what I mean. The dispensation is holding him back. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have been starting this week for first grade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he's been there. And I had to talk to him, and I said to him, and that's when he told me about the dispensation, that he's only dispensated for
second grade. Yeah.
And there's a couple in that boat.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay.
So we had Toby Sarkis.
Yeah.
Well, so when him and Ruben decided to come back and play rugby after doing back playing league, and Ruben came back from his knee reconstruction and that. And then I could have played Toby, but Toby had the skills.
Yeah.
But just could have played him. And then we were way up in Tumut, and like, they go, "Oh, you got to get him, this was saying, you got to get him looked at." And I just, oh, bloody hell. And it just happened that Sam McNaughton Knight walked past.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Come here, bro." And he goes, "What? Watch number 12, yeah? Yeah, I want him playing first grade by the end of next week." And he goes, just tell him, you know, just correct him on little things, you know, make sure he goes low when he tackles and that, but don't see anything on him. Well, next week I had him playing first grade.
So that's the thing they look at for dispensation, is how they go into contact.
Yeah.
You know, that's where someone like Angus needs to, that's where they're looking at it, for sure. But he's definitely...
Oh, he's a player in the making, yeah.
Great,
yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
So, and I've got the Sarkis brothers. Toby's playing 6 tomorrow.
Oh, is he? Yeah. So this is the argument that me and Rangy, I've always had him in the back line last year. Because A, he defended the back line quite well.
Yeah.
And two, he partners up with Ruben quite well.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was like, there needs to be 7, and we're like, nah. So,
yes, I had people in my ear, and I was like, okay, and then I watched him at 7s, and I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to try him at 6, and I'll see how he goes, and I'm fortunate enough to have other guys in the back line.
So who will be at 7?
Joel.
Oh, Joel.
Because I figure Toby doesn't have the experience yet to play 7, but if he plays 6, it's not quite so much pressure, so he can sort of, you know, relax a little bit, whereas Joel has got more experience, so he'll know how to play.
And he's got Luke Ranger backing him up at 8.
Yeah.
Have you got Rex there tomorrow?
No, he's not available tomorrow.
You just didn't get hard on Rex. Get hard on Rex, and he always makes himself available. He comes up with some lame excuse, and you look at him, I'll be there.
He does that when I see the training.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the training. He's got harvesting and all that. And talking about the Sarkis brothers, so I have a 1-3-3-1 pattern.
Yeah.
What's that? Sorry, you can say that again.
1-3-3-1 pattern.
Yeah.
So that's my attacking shape. With once we go from.
So that's a 1-3-1.
1-3-3-1.
Yeah.
So that's your forwards. So I have my hook on one side, pot of 3, and then my 6 on the other side.
So what we're playing last year.
Yes. Yeah.
So you've got Toby at 6, and he's part of that 15-5 channel, out the wing outside him, yeah. And then Ruben coming in, you've got those two.
You've got those two boys there.
So, so you put them back together in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're getting the team back together.
Yeah, getting their connection going.
Tomorrow, is it a bus? It was one bus, a couple of bus? Or?
It's a 57-seater.
Holy cow, yeah. Well done.
From what I heard.
Yeah, yeah. So if you got the opportunity on that bus to go around and talk to your guys individually for their first game, what are you going to say to the players individually? What sort of things would you want them to hear from you as a coach? So imagine
they're there because I believe in them.
You believe.
Stick
yeah.
to their roles, talk, you know, all the normal sort of stuff that you'd say, you know what to do, we've been through it at training, don't worry about anything else, just worry about what you've got to do, two guys beside either side of you, and just do your job.
So we this will get published tomorrow morning.
So the boys can listen to it on the bus.
On the bus. Just imagine that Red sat with you and he just said he believes in you. Do the simple things. And I think that you can't underestimate the belief in players. Like, do you believe you've got a winning team in there somewhere?
Oh, yes, definitely. I believe that we can definitely go out there and win tomorrow.
For sure.
We've got the game plan to go and win.
Yeah.
We trained it hard on Thursday, and the boys were just fantastic. They did exactly what I wanted.
Were sharp. Yep.
No drop balls. They're running the right lines. Yeah, they're connecting well.
Who have you got as skipper?
Jacob, our lock, South African lock. I'm not holding that against him. I will not hold one point against him.
No, but it's South African.
Well, I got a choice. I had Aussies, I had Fijians, and I had a South African. So I was like,
I'll take the South African. Well, they've just won the World Cup, so
don't rub it in. I'm going home now. But that's the thing. I don't want people to hold it against him.
So what do you think of Sam Cain? Are you dirty on Sam Cain? Because Howe still is. Or the referee?
It was a fair call. It was a fair call.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the fact that the South African
captain did the same thing.
Led with his head. Yeah. Now, I know the mitigation happened, but he led with his head, so therefore that should have taken that out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't. It was rough.
And he should have been red carded as well. That's what I disagree with. I don't disagree with Sam Cain being red carded. Okay, yeah, it was a shit tackle. It was a stupid tackle. He should have known better. And he knew it. But these things happen. We're humans. We do error.
So, do you think Geordie Barrett's going to have nightmares about Peter Stefanatoit for the rest of his life?
All right. The All Blacks and that,
mate. Well, we're chatting about the All Blacks losing. Yeah. But anyway,
But get it back to...
can I just ask, though... What happened to the Wallabies in the World Cup?
They're still swimming.
The World Cup's over.
Oh, what happened to that coach?
The World Cup is a competition.
What happened to that coach?
The World Cup the World Cup as a competition is overrated.
So,
right, let's be clear.
We'll get it back to the Stevens. obviously, a sort of total new team there. Even from what I saw last night.
Well, it's a new team to you.
Yeah, very
new team. And you're playing a new team tomorrow.
Yeah,
a lot of players I didn't even notice last night. The regulars that I know.
Yeah.
Who you got running that nine tomorrow?
Well,
because he seems to be a newbie, and it looks like you got another good guy running in twos tomorrow at nine.
Yeah. So, funny story. The guy at nine, he's sick. So he's not playing tomorrow. My ten, who would actually have been playing nine if I didn't need him at ten, is now playing nine.
Oh, okay.
And my 12, who does play ten, but he's a new boy, he's from the army.
Yeah.
He does play ten, but I said I'd rather you play 12 just to get yourself into the groove, get to know things, and then I'll look at putting you in later. So now he is going to be at 10.
And we've had the situation myself and many a times where you've named your team on a Thursday.
Yep.
Come Saturday, it's totally to what you've named it on.
Yeah.
At Inverell, in New Zealand in particular, or Petersham, would you be naming your teams on Thursdays or naming them on Tuesdays?
No, we name them on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Yeah, like how we do. We run units.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much getting... to know, like everybody, oh yeah, we can see who's going to be named.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
then you name it for the team run.
Yeah.
And it just gives everybody a chance. If you name it Tuesday, things can happen between Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So, fair enough. And everybody's together, even though you get, when you're doing your team run, you don't have like the first grade running, you just have players there. So everybody gets rubbing shoulders with everybody else and getting to know, because the seconds obviously are the backup.
Yeah.
So you get up first going out like we do tomorrow, they can step up and they know everything, you know.
Are you a fiery coach? So if you're
doesn't sound like he's a fiery coach.
It doesn't sound like, but if you're
are you into poetry like some other coaches are?
If you're we'll talk about that one day. If you're down by 20-15 at half time and you guys have made multiple errors and dropped off tackles and you should be winning by 20. Are you going to give them a rocket, or what would you do tomorrow after? If it's something scenario like that.
I have been through that sort of scenario a few times, and for me it's what do the players need to hear? Do they need to hear me telling them how shit they are?
Which
because I'm pretty
know.
Sure they already know, because their captain would have been telling them, you know. Or do they need me to be saying, okay, this is what we need to do to win?
Yeah.
I say, tidy up your errors, tidy up your discipline, put your shape together, play your patterns, communicate,
do what you have to do. So your vent will be to be more productive, more positive, more, let's keep moving forward.
I have got Diz Hasler halftime talks in the background.
I remember in 2021 when I coached them, myself and Nathan, and we went to Griffith League games going tomorrow. And, you know, talked about at the start of the game, you know, hold the ball, do this, do that. Yeah. We were like 19-0 down after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was, tense.
Yeah.
And like, and I've had Nathan and Weeks go, what are you going to say to them? And I was like, well, they're going to get a bollocky. And then I sort of sat back, you know, and then. And Nathan goes, well, there's no point giving them a bollocking because they already know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, kidding. So we just went out there and I just said, oh, boys, if we can hold on to a ball and work a little bit harder, you guys can be back in the game. Came back and drew 25 all. Only we would have probably won it if the guy didn't throw an intercept. That's Ryan.
That's a bit,
you know, that's Ryan Siska 2.0.
Siska 2.0.
But the way they came back in the second half was like, I couldn't ask much more.
Well, that's more because you're probably famous for giving them a bollocking more so than being supportive.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's something you could have learned from rather than.
I just said, well, look, you just got to work harder, boys, and hold on to the ball.
Once they held on to the ball,
they got into their groove, they started ripping Griffith apart. And I was just those little fundamental mistakes here and there that they drop.
So we've got our bus talk. So now you don't have to get up and sort of wander around the bus and have a chat to them a bit more, one by one. You can sort of listen to the frigging podcast. I said everything. You're going to be positive at half time. You're going
to
try and.
Are you telling me to be positive?
No. I'm just summarising.
That's what it sounds like. You're going to be positive at half time. Oh, who's coaching you? You
yourself. Well, would you believe though? The time that I did give the team a bollocking was when we were actually in front, and I was like, fuck's sake, you guys are better than this. Pay the way you can.
Yeah.
And then they went forward and then they just absolutely smashed it. But that was a bollocking when we were in front.
I think that's probably the right way to go about it in a lot of ways. Like, if a team's getting pumped,
They don't need to be reminded.
They
want to know what to do to get out of it.
Tell us how to fix it.
It's like my many movies that I watched over my times. It's like The Replacements. You ever seen The Replacements with Gene Hackman and
Keanu Reeves?
And they call it the black hole. You know, once you keep making mistakes, you keep making them. You just keep falling in, and you can't get yourself out of it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what we try to tell. You make a mistake.
Yeah.
Brush it off as fast as you can and make the next one better. You're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes.
What's next?
Yeah. So we've got your rough game plan on how you want the game to play.
Now we're just told the whole thing in competition.
But that's for different, it suits the different opposition.
Yeah. Well, it's like we said in 2015, it's all well and good knowing your game plan, but being able to do anything about it is something else altogether different.
True that.
So, we've got how you are as a coach at half time. We got what you're going to say to them before the game, the sort of things you'll talk about. Anything else you want from Red House?
No, I just want to wish them all the best luck tomorrow because it's a tough road trip to Griffith.
Yeah, it's a hard road trip.
It's a hard road trip.
Good one to start off with.
And you won't be drinking on the way back either.
No,
it's a long trip. You can drive.
And I bet you won't be on that bus the next time it goes to Griffith. You'll be looking for a car to come back in.
Yeah.
I think as a coach in 3 years, I did one bus trip. I just went, it's not for me. Like, you know, as a player, you do thousands of bus trips and you do naked, whatever.
Yeah.
But as a coach, I found it a different thing altogether.
Yes.
So I did one just to say I've done one.
And that's the same as when I was in charge, me and Bridie, you know, we did the one bus trip with the players.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at least the players were like, oh, yeah, our coach is on here. But mainly we just like leave it for the players to celebrate and do all these things.
Leave a Troy Tatchell to sing his songs.
And we don't want to hear about all the dramas, otherwise we have to come Tuesday, who played up on the bus?
Who did this? So will you catch all the buses up, or will you be with like that?
I would probably prefer to.
Oh, really? So you would be...
Yeah, I think it's a good involvement, but, I mean...
Coming home might be different.
When we have a home game, whatever happens, we're in the pub afterwards. You know, I'm only going to stay for half an hour, so you know, after speeches in there, and then 10 minutes after that, and then I'll let everybody do their own thing.
Because
that's when everybody likes
the
natter.
Yeah.
On a bus, I let them do their own thing, like an umbrella for the buses as well. But I'd go and sit at the front. You boys are behind me. You boys do what you do. I'm happy enough to.
Not their babysitter, they're adults, so they can do that.
And it's the same thing we did a lot. We used to sit right up the front and, you guys just do whatever you want, I don't want to see it, I'm just going to sit up the front,
Leave me alone, I'm going to sleep.
Because you still have to distance yourself as being a player and now you're a coach, you still have authority over them a little bit.
Yes.
But you can't just drop your standards and go, get on here.
Yeah.
So when you go into the Mangapla Hotel, there is an expectation you walk in with your clobber off. So how would you find that?
I think that'll be very eye-opening.
Mangapla is one of the good hotels outside of Wagga.
They love us. It's one we stop into on the way home from a lot of games. Sometimes you have your clobber off, sometimes you don't.
And then, if we're good enough this year, and we make the grand final, then we put on a big night for us.
It's just
for them and for the supporters that go up and watch.
It's sort of on the way back.
Yeah.
I think we've covered everything we want to cover. How are you looking forward to the year?
Optimism. Positivity, confidence.
With the players, you've seen the players. You've seen the numbers aren't great. They're not huge.
That's normal.
That's normal. Yeah,
and I mean, if we can make a enjoyable environment, then people want to come. So whether you win or lose, if people enjoy themselves, they want to be part of it.
They'll be part of it.
You know, that brings them in, and if you can form them into a
so who's that, Karen? That's probably Gary Dyball, just for any locals. Build it and they will come.
Yeah,
build it and they will come. And we've talked a bit about this on other podcasts. If you build the right environment, that creates itself. You know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
So for sure, I think. We can start winding up. Can we have a? Do you reckon we can have a chat to you tomorrow after the game?
Well, you can.
Where would you be?
Well, we're probably going to be slow, so he's probably not wanting to kind of talk to us anyway. If those who don't know, it's going to be Mick Ranger's birthday tomorrow.
Would you be up for a chat after the game?
Yeah, up there.
Oh, just on the phone. We won't.
Yeah.
We'll see how we go. We may or may not do it. So we're going to publish this tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Oh, cool.
So we'll set it to go at 8 o'clock, so the players can have a listen and laugh. Before we wind up, one thing we've done with everyone is we've asked their three best players that they've come across or seen or been involved with from the Steamers. So there's no rules on that. We're not putting any limitations on how you decide that.
But if you're looking at it tomorrow, coach, who would be your sort of three standout players tomorrow?
Or from the Colts as well, like three you've got hopes for? Just
I got a couple of promising players that I think will do well. With one is young Angus.
Can we put them in 1, 2, 3? Because I have been adding them up as 1, 2, 3.
Well,
just for argument.
For promising players.
Promising players, yeah.
And young James, what's his last name? He plays 10 anyway. Yeah, and I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And 10's a hard position.
So he's a Colt, is he?
He's a Colt, yeah. So those are my two promising players at the moment.
Who's your go-to guy for your seniors?
And, you know, you're probably looking at the captain. He leads by example.
He plays,
plays a lot, yeah.
All right,
leads by example. And I mean, but in saying that, then you've also got your centre, Cookie, who's Fijian, and he's
good.
If he doesn't go walkabout, sorry, Cookie.
So what's Cookie's name?
Alapat Cookie. So it's APUKUI.
Alapai Cook.
But I'll tell you what, you do want to keep an eye on tomorrow, coach, is your number 8.
Luke?
Yeah. Keep an eye on him.
Why is that? You're about to throw him under the bus.
No. If there's a guy that doesn't look like much, he'll come out and set the world on fire.
Cool.
I remember when he came, he looked, he was always injured, looked out of shape, and when we got him fit, he just
come.
Yeah.
Cool. That'll be good.
So we've got Angus, James, somebody. We'll need to find out his surname.
Yeah. Jacob. He'll be playing 10. Jacob and
Cook. So James will be playing 10 in seconds.
Yes.
So he's
another 16-year-old.
So right. Cookie played 10 last year for us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just needs a kicking game.
And what's Jacob's surname? Sapphire?
Werner?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Jacob, Steph Detroit. Steph.
But I mean, he stands out anyway.
He's a solid guy. Right, I don't really know him. I've met him a couple of times. He's a solid man. Like, yes. not physically, he's straight up and down.
Yes.
Which is what you want, my captain.
Yeah.
Before we go, we don't see the team until around 3, about around the 20th of April.
That's a
long stint.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But we got 2 away, 2 home, then a bye. So.
Yeah. And getting rid of these big, hard away games in the first half of the season, if you can get the odd win here or there, you know, you just scratch out some points.
Pick up a few points, like bonus points and stuff.
Give you something to work for coming into the second half of the season. So
I can remember in 2013, we didn't even play at home. It was about a month before we came home. We were on the road for about a month. And there was like two away trips, then a bye, then another 2 away trips.
Well, it's you get over and done with.
Yeah, I know.
It was tough. It was tough though.
Oh,
is there anything you would like to ask us?
No,
Reg.
I'm pretty happy with it. It's been going at the moment. Right. So, yeah.
We'll get you back again anyway.
We'll see.
Get your point of view halfway through the season on week 2.
We'll see what state of mind we are in to give you a call tomorrow night. But,
All right. It was weird.
Yep.
Oh, did you say something?
Don't answer that one. Just put it on Detroit.
Yeah. That's sweet. All right. Pleasure. Thank you.
No worries. Good luck. Well done.
All the best tomorrow, coach.
Thanks, coach. Thank you very much.